Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. In this video, I want to provide you with an update on Turkey. If you've been following the channel, you'll know that we've been covering Turkey in some detail, and I wanted to bring you up to speed on all of the latest developments. Now, the figures for December have been released in terms of the economy, and we've seen a reduction in inflation for the first time in a long period of time. However, inflation is still running at 64%. So we'll have a look at the details on what's going on, what's driven the reduction in inflation, and we'll talk about whether or not this is now a long-term trend, or whether we're going to see continued reductions in inflation, or whether this is just a short-term dip. We'll have a look at what's going on with regards to interest rates, because the central bank has announced its latest policy decision. So we'll see what's been going on there, because Turkey's been following this contrarian approach of lowering interest rates at a time of very high inflation. We'll then have a look at what's going on with regards to the balance of trade and the current account, because these are the critical issues for Turkey. They're running short of reserves. They're running short of cash. They desperately need to bring in more foreign currency so that they can make all of the purchases of oil and gas and food that they're having to buy in the international market. So we'll have a full update on that. We'll then talk about the latest position with regards to the NATO application from Sweden and Finland that Turkey was originally blocking. We'll then talk about the upcoming election, because the date has been moved forward. It's going to be earlier than expected. And we'll have a look at who the opposition is likely to be and how they're rating in the polls against President Erdogan. And then finally today, I'll wrap up with my summary as to what are things likely to happen in Turkey over the course of the next 3 to 6 months, what the outcome of this election is likely to be, and what the impact will be on the global economy. So before we get started on all of that, as usual, I'm going to ask you for a thumbs up at some point during this video if you're enjoying the content. Please subscribe if you haven't done so already. Don't forget, I always include chapters, so if you don't have time to watch everything, you can pick and choose what you'd like to see. And if you'd like to support the channel, please have a look below, where you'll find links to the YouTube Super Thanks and membership, as well as Buy Me a Coffee and Patreon. And as always, I'd like to say thank you so much to everyone that has supported the channel. It means a lot to me. So let's start off by looking at the official rate of interest that's been announced by the Turkish authorities. And then we'll have a look at some unofficial data that's been produced by the INA Group, which is an independent research body in Turkey that is monitoring prices on a daily basis. This chart shows the movement in Turkish inflation over the last 12 months. And as you can see, in December, the official rate of interest was 64.27%, which represents a significant reduction against the previous month of 84.39%. And as you can see, the official rate of inflation in December is the lowest that Turkey has seen since March 2022. So at face value, this looks like very good news for Turkey. They've seen a massive fall in the rate of inflation. And the question is, how has this managed to be achieved? Well, two major costs from Turkey's perspective are the import of oil and natural gas. And this chart shows the movement in crude oil prices over the last 12 months. And you can see that since the end of June, there's been a significant reduction, coming down from around $120 per barrel to the current levels of around $80. And actually, if we look at this chart, which plots the movement in the price of Russian crude oil, you can see that Russian oil has been trading at a discount to where Brent crude trades and has come down from around $100 to the current level of less than $60, which obviously is the critical level in respect of the oil price cap that's been imposed by the West against Russia. And as Turkey is still a friend of Russia and wants to do more business, a lot of the oil that Turkey is buying is coming directly from Russia, so Turkey will be benefiting from those discounts. And this chart shows the movement in natural gas prices in Europe over the last 12 months. And you can see that there's been two predominant spikes, one immediately following the invasion of Ukraine. We then saw prices come back down. And then we saw a second spike through the summer as we started to have political issues. Russia switched off the supply to a number of countries. We had the Nord Stream pipeline explosions. However, the price of natural gas today is now trading at a lower level than it was this time 12 months ago. And this is important from Turkey's point of view, because they're using natural gas for industrial purposes, to supply to homes, and also for the production of electricity. So this is a really big expense from Turkey's point of view. So as the price comes down in the international market of all of these commodities, then that will ease the pressure on prices within Turkey, and therefore we can explain why inflation has started to come down. And this chart plots the movement in the price of food over the last 12 months. And you can see that these prices are following a very similar trend to general inflation. And the current rate of food inflation is now around 78%, which is a significant drop against the 103% that was seen in November. And the rate of food price increases are now at their lowest level since March 22. So once again, at face value, this seems like good news. However, if you take a step back and look at the actual figure for December, food inflation of 78% means that food has almost doubled in price over the course of the last 12 months. And as we've discussed multiple times before, the problem with food inflation is that it's indiscriminate and it disproportionately impacts the poorest members of society because they're spending a large percentage of their income on food and they don't have any savings. So when food prices increase by 78%, it means that their wages also have to increase by 78% to be able to buy the same amount of food now as they did this time last year. Now, wages have not been increasing at anything like 78% in Turkey. So that means that over the course of the last 12 months, people have got less cash to be able to buy food. And as a result, there's a lot of pressure on the poorest members of society right now because they simply can't afford to buy enough food. Now, in terms of the official inflation figures, there are a lot of commentators who question whether or not the actual figures are 100% reliable. And as a result of this, an independent research group was formed in Turkey called ENA Group, and they provide their own monthly inflation data. The data is compiled using online and offline sources, and approximately 250,000 different price points are calculated on a daily basis. Now, in terms of the way inflation is calculated, the data set includes a basket of items. And ENA include 339 of the 418 items that are in the official inflation calculation. And the remaining 79 items are excluded from the ENA scope due to their intermittent behaviour affecting inflation or because controlled products make up the majority. And I thought it was worth sharing this data with you because ENA's calculation of inflation show that for the last 12 months to December, they believe that the rate of inflation in Turkey is 137% compared with the official figure of 64%. So that is more than double the official figure. So looking at things in a positive light, obviously the trend is moving in the right direction. Inflation has started to come down. We haven't seen another increase month on month. However, when you take a step back and look at the actual rate of inflation currently in Turkey, it's still off the scale. It's still at a point where it will break the economy over the longer term. And to put the current rate of 64% into perspective, this chart shows the current rates of inflation for the G20. So these historically were the 20 largest economies in the world, and Turkey is one of those. And you can see that Turkey ranks at number 2. It has the second highest rate of inflation behind Argentina. And Argentina is in a complete state of economic crisis. I recently posted a video on that, so check it out if you haven't seen it. But excluding Argentina, the next highest rate of inflation in the G20 is Russia at 11.9%, and then Italy at 11.6%. So 64% is completely out of kilter with all of the other developed economies here. And to put it into a global perspective, this chart shows the countries with the highest rates of inflation all across the world. And you can see that despite the reduction, Turkey is still ranking as the country with the 7th highest rate of inflation. The only countries with higher rates of inflation are Zimbabwe, whose economy collapsed a long time ago, Venezuela, which is heavily sanctioned, Lebanon and Syria, which are war-torn countries, Argentina, I just mentioned, and Sudan, which is also affected by war. And if you look further down this list, Turkey is in a worse position from an inflation point of view than countries including Sri Lanka, Iran, Cuba, Sierra Leone, Ethiopia, Rwanda, and Ukraine. So as you're probably aware, the traditional way of dealing with high inflation is to increase interest rates. And that's what we've seen all across the world over the course of the last 12 months. We had a spike in inflation following Russia's invasion of Ukraine, and we've seen most central banks hiking rates progressively to try to bring that inflation back down. However, Turkey have taken an entirely different approach. Despite the fact that they've had very high levels of inflation, 20% plus, the central bank took a decision in the second half of 2021 that it was going to start reducing interest rates. And as a direct result of that, the rate of inflation increased from around 20% to more than 100%. So that policy wasn't proven to be successful. And we all thought that they'd abandoned it. However, in the second half of 2022, they decided to start reducing rates again. And over the course of the last few months, we've seen a 500 basis points, so a 5% reduction in interest rates in Turkey. Now, the Central Bank of Turkey has had its meeting and has decided to keep rates flat at 9%. However, market commentators believe that this won't be the last time that we see a rate reduction in Turkey. It's likely in the course of 2023 that we will see more rate cuts coming. And of course, the interesting question will be, what will happen to inflation if those interest rates are cut further? Now, one of the interesting things about interest rates is that when you increase them, it encourages savers to put more money into the bank because they're going to earn some credit interest on those deposits. But obviously, you need to take into account what's happening with regards to inflation. Are prices rising faster than interest rates? Because if they are, then on a real-term basis, the value of your money will be falling. Because if you're paid 5% interest, but prices are rising by 64%, then obviously, over the course of 12 months, you'll be able to buy less goods, and therefore the value of your money is falling. And this chart looks at what's been happening to the real interest rate in a number of different countries. And when we use the term real interest rate, this is interest rates that have been adjusted for what's happening with inflation, so taking into account the movement in prices. And this chart, which dates back to 2015, compares what's been happening in Turkey, Brazil, Russia, India, Indonesia, South Africa, and Mexico. So when we look at the overall picture here, you can see that the vast majority of the lines that have been plotted on this graph are running at or around zero. So that means in relative terms, when you take into account what's been happening with inflation, there hasn't really been any benefit from leaving your money in the bank. Everything has remained flat. So if you'd put your money in any of these countries apart from Turkey and Russia, it would have remained flat in terms of the value. Now, the Russian line is shown in black here, and you can see there's been two pronounced dips. One in 2015, which was following Russia's original invasion of Crimea, after which there were a variety of sanctions applied against Russia, and the Russian economy suffered from that. And then another dip in 2022, following Russia's invasion of Ukraine. But those two dips pale into insignificance when you look at what's happened to the real interest rate in Turkey over the course of the last 18 months. And this is plotted by the red line. And as you can see, from late 2021 onwards, there has been a massive fall in the real interest rate in Turkey. And the reason for this is twofold. Firstly, there's been an actual reduction in interest rates in Turkey over that period. As I just mentioned, the central bank decided to start lowering interest rates despite the fact that inflation was running away with itself. And the second factor is that inflation increased from 20% to over 100% during that period. So the net impact of those two movements has been a massive fall in the real interest rate in Turkey. If you'd have just left your money in the bank in Turkey, thinking that you were going to be paid some credit interest, on a real basis, the value of that money at one point was falling by more than 70%. And this is one of the reasons why there's a high level of dollarization in Turkey right now. A lot of the people in Turkey are seeing the value of their money diminishing in lira, so they feel more comfortable holding currencies like the dollar and the euro, or real assets like gold. The balance of trade measures the difference between the value of your exports and the value of your imports. So if you're exporting more than you're importing, you'll be making more money, you're being paid more than you're paying out. However, if you're importing more than you're exporting, it will be the opposite situation, and you'll be paying out from your reserves. Now, this chart shows the movement in the balance of trade in Turkey over the last 5 years. And the scale on the right-hand side is measured in US dollars and ranges from $2 billion at the top to negative $12 billion at the bottom. And this chart really highlights the problem for the Turkish economy, because over the last 5 years, there's been only a very brief moment in 2019 when the balance of trade was positive. Throughout the whole rest of the period, the balance of trade has been running a negative balance. And if you look at what's happened over the course of the last 18 months, there has been a significant deterioration. And in December 2022, the deficit widened by 53% to $10.4 billion. And this chart shows the movement in the current account in Turkey. In the current account, very similar to your checking account. So if you've got a negative position, it means that you're having to dip into your reserves, so your savings, to pay for all of the things that you're buying in. And the scale of this chart ranges from positive $6 billion to negative $8 billion. And once again, this highlights the problems in Turkey, because over the course of the last 5 years, the current account has been running predominantly in a negative position. And if we look at what's happened over the course of the last 18 months, there's been some really interesting movements. At the end of 2021, there was a dramatic fall in the current account. It fell from around $4 billion positive to around $7 billion negative, partly as a result of what was happening with regards to inflation. That's when inflation took off, when interest rates started to be reduced, and partly as a result of the crash in the Turkish lira. everywhere, which was linked to what was happening with interest rates and inflation. Now, in order to address this, the Turkish Central Bank and the authorities introduced a variety of schemes which encouraged the companies and the people of Turkey to put their savings into lira, to hand over gold, and a variety of other schemes that were designed to increase the reserves of the country. And you can see that those policies were successful and have increased the reserves. And at one point, this chart came close to getting back to zero. However, towards the end of 2022, we saw another marked deterioration. And the current estimates for 2022 is that Turkey is expected to record a current account deficit of around $48 billion for the full year, which is obviously an undesirable position because you don't constantly want to be having to use your reserves to pay for things like gas and oil. Now, following Russia's invasion of Ukraine, Finland, which has an 800-mile-long land border with Russia, and Sweden, which is an adjoining country and also very close, decided that they felt nervous about the situation and they wanted to make a full application to join NATO. And that application was submitted during the course of 2022. Now, NATO is officially a peacekeeping alliance of 30 different countries, most of which are based in Europe, but also includes the USA and Canada. And whenever anybody applies to join, there has to be a unanimous vote. So every single country must vote in favour. And after both of these countries applied, Turkey came out and vetoed their application. And President Erdogan said that he couldn't accept their applications because they were both harbouring terrorists that were working against the Turkish state. Now, negotiations have been going on for around 6 months, and Turkey have sent a list to both Sweden and Finland of individuals that they want to extradite back to Turkey. And Sweden and Turkey have released a number of individuals. However, Turkey have now come out and stated that they are not prepared to sign off on these applications until at least another 130 people that they deem to be terrorists are sent over to Turkey. And the problem that's now emerging is that there are a number of protests taking place, predominantly in Sweden, against these extraditions. And these protests, many of which have been derogatory towards President Erdogan, are coming at a time when he's in an election campaign in his own country. So it's becoming quite politically sensitive. And there is a risk that Turkey will stick to its guns and refuse to allow both Sweden and Finland to join NATO. And of course, this opens up a whole political debate because Turkey has good relations with Russia. President Erdogan and President Putin are talking on a regular basis. They've stated that they want to increase the amount of business that they do together. And so a question mark is opening up here as to whether or not Turkey is taking a stance because it wants all of these prisoners released, or whether it just wants to block the entry of Sweden and Finland on a longer term basis. The election date for the new president of Turkey was originally set as the 18th of June. That was the date that everybody thought that these elections were going to happen. However, President Erdogan has now indicated that it's likely to be brought forward to the 14th of May. Now, as it stands at the moment, it's likely that the opposition will be a coalition of six different parties, but a decision has not been yet made as to who will stand against President Erdogan. There are three prime candidates at the moment. The first is the leader of the CHP party. The second is the mayor of Ankara, and the third is the mayor of Istanbul. And a recent tweet posted by private pollster ORC Research claimed that 49.4% of the people polled favoured the mayor of Ankara over President Erdogan, who came in at 39.8%. And in a second separate poll, the mayor of Istanbul received 47% of votes compared to 41.9% for President Erdogan. However, in the third poll, President Erdogan received 42.5% of the votes versus the CHP leader who received 41.8%. So on paper, these polls show that the election potentially could be quite close. However, we'll have to see nearer the time who's actually put forward as the final candidate and what the real polls show at that point. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, I wanted to post this video really to give everybody a current update on what's going on in Turkey. We've been following the position over the course of the last year or so. So it's good to see what's happening as we're going into 2023. And as we've seen in today's video, the official rate of inflation has fallen significantly at the end of 2022. And this obviously represents a positive trend from Turkey's point of view. But there are some major challenges facing Turkey. As we've seen, the balance of trade remains negative and the current account is going down. So that means that on an ongoing basis, Turkey is having to find more and more cash and it's having to dip into its reserves to do that. And until it gets to the point where it moves into a positive balance of trade, That's likely to continue. And one of the major problems that Turkey faces is that it's a net importer. It imports more than it exports. So that in itself makes it difficult to have a positive balance of trade. But when you look at what Turkey is actually exporting, it's manufacturing a lot of equipment and goods. So it imports parts and raw materials. It does some assembly work and then it exports finished products. And unfortunately, from Turkey's point of view, there isn't a huge amount of value added in that process. They're not earning enough profit on all of that work to be able to switch from a negative balance of trade to a positive balance of trade. And because they're doing a lot of heavy industry and manufacturing, they're using a lot of energy products. And unfortunately, they're having to import in most of those energy products. So it becomes a vicious circle that as you expand your manufacturing, you then need more energy. So you have to import more natural gas and oil. And as those prices have gone up in the international markets, obviously the burden is increasing from Turkey's economic point of view. And of course, one of the other factors is the value of Turkey's currency. We've seen a dramatic fall in the value of the Turkish lira over the course of the last 18 months. In 2021, the lira fell by 44%. And in 2022, we saw another fall of around 30%. So that means that when they're buying oil and gas and food in the international markets, it's costing more on a real basis in lira. And that puts pressure on all the people in Turkey. And as we saw, food inflation is still running at very high levels. So what's the solution for Turkey here? Well, the answer to that is that it's very difficult to be able to get out of this situation because it does become a vicious circle. Turkey has a lot of debt. It has to service that debt. And a lot of that debt is in international currency. So as the value of the lira falls, it becomes relatively more expensive. But also from a trade point of view, it becomes more difficult because they're having to buy in all the parts and raw materials in dollars and euros. So there is no magic wand that Turkey can wave to solve all of these problems. Now, President Erdogan is currently planning for an election to get a third term in power, which would be unprecedented in Turkey's history. Now, I shared with you some data from the polls, but I think realistically, it's likely that he will be re-elected. He'll be put back into power. So over the course of 23 and 24, it's likely that we'll see a continuation of the economic policies that have been followed over the course of the last 18 months. And that means that we're likely to see further reductions in interest rates, which potentially could mean that inflation could go back up. Because if you're reducing interest rates, the traditional theory is that that causes inflation. So it'll be interesting to see what does happen with inflation. But until Turkey gets control of inflation and brings prices back down to a manageable level, it's going to mean that the economy remains in a difficult and stretched position. And the people within Turkey are going to keep struggling to be able to buy enough food and all of the other things that they need for everyday existence. So I'll keep you posted on any further news and developments as and when I hear them. Hopefully you've enjoyed this update. You thought it was interesting, informative and thought-provoking. If you've liked what I've said, then please give me a thumbs up. And thank you so much for watching this video all the way through to the end.